Radiolab is supported by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call the shots on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Wait, you're listening?
Okay.
All right.
Okay.
All right.
You're listening to Radiolab.
Radiolab.
Shorts!
From
WNYC.
See?
Yes.
And NPR.
Number 14, The Four Groans. There is a moment in Shakespeare, it is a very, very famous moment, when Shakespeare allows his actors to step right up to the edge of death, almost into death itself. It's from Hamlet.
Yeah, that sounds good.
Okay, so we'll start. So what's going on in the play at the very end?
Well, at the very end, there's a pile of bodies.
This is Ron Rosenbaum. He's the author of a book called The Shakespeare Wars.
Hamlet and Laertes have fought a duel. And the queen has drunk a draft of poison.
A drink! Oh, my dear.
People are dying all over the place.
And Hamlet, too, he's been cut and fatally poisoned. He falls into the arms of his very best friend,
Horatio.
Oh, I die, Horatio.
This is Sir Laurence Olivier.
The potent poison quite o'ercrows my spirit.
And then, finally, he says...
The rest is silence.
And then Hamlet dies.
So that's the end of Hamlet. The rest is silence. Those are his last words.
Which may be Shakespeare's way of just saying so that, you know, when you die, that's what happens next. It's just nothing. It's just silence.
However... 7 years after Shakespeare's death, his collaborators reprinted collected works of Shakespeare. This is called the folio version.
In that version, says Ron,
after the rest is silence, Hamlet is not silent. What is printed beneath the rest is silence is literally capital O, comma, O, comma, O, comma, O.
Four O's.
Four O's.
Yes, we have an appointment with Mark Ryland. We are from National Public Radio.
We wondered, what are these O's? They're just tacked like big dangling donuts onto one of the most lyrical deaths in the English language. So what are they doing there? Well, most of the actors who perform Hamlet pay no attention to the folio. They don't do the O's. They do the rest is silence. They die, and it's done.
The green room is down to the left there.
But we met a guy who does do the groans.
You are he?
I'm Mark.
Hi, I'm Robert Krulwich. Hi,
hello,
this
Robert.
Is Jennifer.
Hi.
Hi.
His name is Mark Rylance.
Yeah, should we go up to my dressing room?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
We met him backstage at the Longacre Theater in New York City. He was starring in a non-Shakespeare Broadway show, but he took us up to...
Wow, we're in a Broadway dressing room. That's pretty cool.
A teeny dressing room, and it was there... that he began to talk about the groans.
So the O-O-O-O was added by very careful editors to the folio in 1623.
Mark said he didn't think that Shakespeare actually wrote those O's. He thinks probably an actor did it.
So when you and your director sat down and you're looking at these four O's on the page, why didn't you think to yourself, shut up?
Because I guess I'd done it 300 times shutting up, so I was into the change, into the difference.
Particularly when he began to just consider the character of Hamlet himself.
Of all the characters who die in plays, I think we're most intrigued about what what Hamlet will make of it.
Because Ryland says, remember, not only is Hamlet, you know, unusually obsessed by death, he went to a school that championed reason over mystery.
He's a student at Wittenberg University. He's part of that whole Protestant movement to the accurate study of nature. He's moving away from superstition, and bam.
What?
He encounters a ghost.
I am thy father's spirit.
A ghost that not only appears as his father, but sounds like his father.
If thou didst ever thy dear father love.
Oh, God.
This is for the scientists, I imagine, listening to your program, you have to put yourself in that position. It's one of you. It's not a New Age wanderer or some regular visitor to a psychic who has this experience. So his gaze has been, for the whole play, his gaze has been on what is on the other side of our consciousness.
And when, in the end, Hamlet finally steps to the edge of the answer and he utters...
The rest is silence.
Here's the choice that actors and directors, when they do Hamlet, must make. Hamlet's next step is either into silence, where there is nothing, where there's a nothingness forever and ever, or is there a something waiting on the other side, and does he see that something in a vision? Maybe four visions.
Oh, 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 oh.
They could represent a kind of dying area.
Oh.
A long sigh. I see it coming.
Oh.
Oh my God, it's here.
Oh.
It's about to happen.
Oh.
That's it.
This is an idea you had to inhabit night after night.
I did, yeah.
So what did you think you were doing?
I felt I was encountering another reality than was immediately apparent to those around me. And so I felt with Hamlet that he'd moved and was seeing things, was encountering things, but his ability to put words to what he's witnessing dies before his ability to witness.
The ability to say what he saw, that died, even though he still had mind enough to see. So some nights, Mark would deliver the O's silently.
Just looking four times in four different places, maybe.
Or he might change tempo.
Oh. 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 Oh.
And some nights he died better deaths.
The best deaths would just be when the audience and I were together. And we were all kind of together wanting, I suppose, Hamlet to say something. What can you say? What's happening to him? Something is happening, but we don't know what it is. There he's gone. He's gone.
And the rest is silence. Radiolab is funded in part by the Sloan Foundation, the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, and the National Science Foundation.
You come to the New Yorker Radio Hour for conversations that go deeper with people you really want to hear from, whether it's Bruce Springsteen or Questlove or Olivia Rodrigo, Liz Cheney, or the godfather of artificial intelligence, Geoffrey Hinton, or some of my extraordinarily well-informed colleagues at The New Yorker. So join us every week on The New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.